Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, UFOs, aliens, Area 51, conspiracies, unsolved crimes, the supernatural. Are they real or are they figments? With your hosts, Colleen and Eddie Medina.
Hello and welcome to Figments, the podcast where we talk about the unknown and the unexplained. I'm your host, Eddie Medina, and with me is my lovely co-host, as always, Miss Colleen Medina.
Hello.
And Figments is back. We had a bit of a hiatus there. My other podcast, The Rancor Pit, the Star Wars podcast I do with Cole Houston, if you don't know, went weekly, and we're doing a live show with Deep Elm on Air every other week, so that has caused our schedule to be a little bit chaotic, so that's why this episode is coming to you a little later than normal. I'd say we're back on track, right, Colleen?
And we're getting some information on lots of great, creepy, scary, interesting ideas, so all of these episodes should be pretty cool.
Yeah, they should be falling back to back to back pretty soon here. We thank you for your patience, but let's get into tonight's topic. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Slender Man.
Slender.
We're going to be slenderizing and tenderizing.
Okay,
well, the Slender Man, I think, Colleen, you're the one that kind of brought it to my attention a few years ago. We kind of discovered it. Just, you know, you were, what, on YouTube or something, looking up creepy stuff, creepy documentaries.
Yeah, I'm sure I was looking up scary stuff and found that. And
it was intriguing at first, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting. You know, we're always on the lookout for new things, and that was definitely new to us. And we started watching, there were only a few documentaries on YouTube that you can find.
Yeah, back then,
So, and really short ones, too.
A few photos here and there. Most of them were just photo gallery shows, like slideshows.
Some audio recordings that
were obviously fake.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I remember when we were looking into it, like, right away, it kind of struck me as just being, like, a fabricated thing. I never really took it seriously, but it was fun to just kind of look these things up and have something new to read about.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it's not any different than, you know, going to see a horror movie and, you know, allowing yourself to be scared and all mm-hmm. that, but, you know, it's not real or anything. And that's how it was with Slender Man. It just really struck me as being just kind of, you know, fake and all, but fun. We'll be talking about Slender Man here in a bit, a little bit about his origins, about how he came into the public imagination, the public consciousness, as it were. And we're also going to be covering the Slender Man stabbings later in the show. The second half of the show, I think we're going to kind of tie the two together, you know, to try to give our opinion about how something that is fictitious could actually make a leap, per se, into the real world, the physical world, how the make-believe can affect the physical.
Right.
Slender Man was actually part of a thing back in 2009, I believe, and it was first debuted on a website called somethingawful.com, and it really started to pick up steam shortly after when it got posted over at creepypasta.com.
Now, that pasta's really creepy.
Yeah.
Don't ever try to eat any of it.
Yeah,
oh,
every Halloween, we try to make creepy pasta for our Halloween parties, and I think it goes over pretty well.
Yeah, it does. That's probably where they got the idea for their website.
We should sue Creepy Pasta.
We should.
Oh my, they owe us some money.
There's a new idea. Okay, anyway, you get on that.
That's okay though. Figments is bigger than Creepy Pasta, I think. Don't look at me like that. But yeah, it started over on Creepy Pasta, and what it was is they were putting on a contest to have people submit ideas of creating these modern day folklore type things. Slender Man was created, and it kind of started to grow from there, and I eventually pick up a little bit more steam over the next few years, because I don't think it hit really big right away. I mean, that was 2009,
and as much as we're into paranormal, well, not really paranormal stuff, but just, I guess, cryptid stuff,
mm-hmm.
We just, like, what, last year started looking at stuff on it?
Yeah, I think it's coming up about 2 years that we've just kind of first heard about it and started looking stuff up, a year and a half, 2 years back. It really started gaining popularity, you know, within the past few years. And people started Photoshop and stuff. And
there's a lot of funny pranks.
Oh, yeah.
The pranks are really good.
Yeah. And you know, of course, I'm an illustrator and I do a lot of these comic conventions. I've seen Slender Man with my own eyes.
Oh, my.
But it's a cosplayer. I've seen a lot of people cosplaying Slender Man at the Comic Cons.
Have you ever seen Slender Man in our backyard at night?
Don't play. Don't. No.
Just checking.
No, let's not do that. Huh. Let's not do that.
It is a rainy night tonight. Is okay. It a full moon?
It is true. It is.
Yeah.
We're recording the Slender Man episode on a rainy, stormy night. So yeah. Nice.
I love a rainy night. Where's Eddie Rabbit when you need him? I think he passed away already. Well, anyway.
Where's a Trix Rabbit when you need him?
That's beside the point. Okay, so who was the guy that created?
I don't know. I've heard two
There's
names.
There's different, yeah.
There was like some Eric guy they said. Maybe he brought the creepypasta. I don't know. But I also heard there was like another guy, Victor something or other. But that's neither here nor there. But I guess it was interesting because people took his idea and just like ran with it and added to it. And photoshopping all these photos going back to like the 50s. You know, like there's one from Germany in the 50s. They take these authentic photos and photoshop them in. And some of them are really done really well.
Yeah, they are.
They're really impressive.
But, you know, I think, not getting into it too much, but I think this idea came from not photos, but things that people had recorded of encounters that they had.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Slender Man we'll be getting into later. It's not so much that Slender Man is a new thing, per se. I think the concept of Slender Man has always been around, because what he is, he's apparently a devourer of children, or a tormentor of children. Basically, his victims are always the young.
Which in itself is sad right there. I mean, that's like really scary.
Yeah, all the photos are him. There's one of him in a playground, and all these kids are just like having a good old time and everything, climbing up the slide and everything, and you know, dancing around, and there's old Slendy baby just standing in the background as slender as can
being
be.
Being a creeper.
Yeah, as slender as can be. Just, I'm thinking, does anybody see him standing there? Oh my gosh, this faceless man. But, oh yeah, you know what? For those who may not know what we're talking about, Slender Man is generally portrayed as a faceless, like white face type thing, wearing a black suit, long arms, long legs, tall, slender, obviously.
Yeah, I can have like tentacles sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes
just looks like a regular man. Sometimes is the height of between 8 and 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just, you know, the height of five or six foot person.
Yeah, and a lot of times there are people who've added to the story of Slender Man by making him almost like a tree creature, where you see him out in the woods and these long tentacle type arms will be rooted into the ground and kind of give him like a boggy creek tree type, you know,
right.
Appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Slender Man, like with anything, has made his rounds on YouTube, on social media, you know, memes galore, people dressing up as him. I'm sure.
Yeah, I was thinking about Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure eventually, if there's not already, there's going to be a Slender Man comic book or action figure. You know, I'm sure at some point somebody will produce it, because they produce everything nowadays. He's really just almost like a Freddy Krueger type character, where it's been created, but it's worked its way into the public consciousness.
Right.
And you say Slender Man, immediately people have this image in their head of what he is, just like you would if you said Jason Voorhees. You know, people, hockey mask, you know. Generally speaking, they don't think of the potato sack that he started out with. But anyway.
The one-eyed potato sack.
Yeah, exactly. Well, any other thoughts on, like, Slender Man as a pop culture character from you?
Just as the character?
Yeah, before we get into the heavier stuff.
Well, I find it interesting that people have, fake pictures and accounts of him looking different. He, like we said before, he doesn't always look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really say anything. I just find that interesting. If you look at, as opposed to, okay, somebody in a costume, like the Scream character.
Ghostface,
there you go. I always say just the Scream character. He always looks the same. And then you have the masks of the parody movies, and you can tell the difference. But when you're talking about just the Scream character, he always looks the same.
Yeah.
But Slender Man doesn't always look the same. Yeah. And that, I'm sure, is because people are dressing up differently and people are making him different in all the photos.
I think the changes are minor for the most part.
All of the photos that I've seen, he looks very different. You know, usually when it's somebody dressed up as him, they look pretty much the same, probably because they're just getting a man in a black costume and a white mask.
I know, there was that one chubby cosplayer. He looked like... Well, anyway, we won't go
there.
Well,
I find that interesting that people are using their imagination.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like they're portraying him as what they not necessarily see, but maybe they would see.
Yeah.
Or when they're thinking about Slender Man, okay, let me Photoshop this image into this picture the creepiest I can.
You know, the same could be said for, like, say, the Jersey Devil or the Chupacabra. You have the Chupacabra, and, like, on one hand, a lot of people kind of describe it as, almost like with an alien head, with that almond-shaped head, you know, with the dark big eyes, but it'll have like a little bit of a almost like a creature type figure. Others will describe the Chupacabra as like a coyote type creature. Others will it'll be vastly different from either one of those descriptions. So it's like it takes on different descriptions based on the person telling the story, and Slender Man is no different.
Right, and it all goes back to it's something that's not real. It's something that was made up.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been proven. It doesn't really exist. That's just people's way of creating it in their own minds. And we'll kind of go into that a little bit more, because sometimes these things that are created in people's minds mm-hmm. turn out to not just be in their mind after all.
Yeah. Like with anything else, people take what they see on TV or in art or in books, and they try to recreate it in real life. And unfortunately, that happened on May 31st. We had what is now being called the Slender Man stabbings. And what it is was two girls. If you like to look up their names, you can find their names online. Colleen and I choose not to mention their names because we think that just kind of feeds the whole mentality of someone who wants to become famous by doing something evil. So a person said, well, if I do this, then people will forever know our name. My name. If you want to look up the names of these little psychos, that's your business. But for our show, we're just going to say these girls or psychos.
Yeah.
So these two girls, both 12 years old, went to creepypasta.com. And let me say this right now. We're not putting any sort of blame on Creepypasta.
No, not at all.
They're just basically having a contest. Their thing is just set up to accept fan fiction, to accept anything like Photoshopped photos. They never come out and say that this stuff is real. It's obviously fiction for the purpose of entertainment, not any different than seeing a scary movie or reading a scary book. And they've never advocated for people to kill in the name of Slender Man. So let's just get that right there.
No.
I mean, a lot of times people will want to blame, point the finger at different things, and I'm sure there's people out there pointing the finger at Creepypasta saying, well, they're advocating this. No, they're not. You know, they're only simply providing a form of I guess entertainment. It's not necessarily the type of entertainment I like. It may be the type of entertainment you like, but people are different. That's just, you know, different opinions.
You can't blame movies. You mm-hmm. can't blame, you know, radio programs.
Yeah.
You cannot, it goes back to the people that are doing the crime.
Uh-huh.
There's also other factors involved.
Yeah, exactly. So these two girls went to Creepypasta and apparently became very obsessed with Slender Man and the whole concept of it and the lore of it. And so...
Hold on. Let's just get this out there. Slender Man, his reputation is a bad one. He abducts children. They go missing.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there tells you what kind of dummies we're talking about.
Yeah.
These are 12-year-old girls knowing that this creature abducts children. He's not somebody you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
So that tells you what kind of people they are, or lack of people they are.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, is that their purpose of going there and getting obsessed with it is they wanted to invoke Slender Man to bring him out of his existence, his plane of existence, and bring him into our world. And their purpose was to basically sacrifice their other friend, their 12-year-old friend, use her as a human sacrifice to bring forth Slender Man so they could go off with him to, who knows, Slenderland?
Yeah, Disneyland? Yeah, Slenderland. what did they think they were going to do together?
I don't know. So they go to Creepypasta, and they start planning this murder in February. The attack took place May 31st. So what are we talking about? February, March, April, May? 4 months. They had 4 months to plan
this. 4 months. That is premeditated, attempted murder.
And so they start planning this thing, and May comes around, and they have a birthday sleepover with their friend. And what they do is the next morning they get up. And originally what their plan was is the first plan that they told the police they had was to stab her in the bed. You know, I guess slit her throat and stab her there. Then they decided, no, let's kill her in the bathtub. That way it'll be easy to clean up everything.
Right.
But then they ended up going with the plan of taking her out to the woods. So they walk out to this park. And it's a nice park. You know, when I first heard the story, I was picturing, like, these people living out in a more rural area. You know, just a lot of woods, a lot of back trails. But this is a nice-looking park. You know, the lawn is manicured. It's brand-new equipment, you know, good facilities. So they go to this park, and they go off into the woods, into the trails away from the park. They attack her. And as one of the girls said, and it seems like one of the girls is the ringleader. There's one.
No, of course. There's always an alpha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one of them is the alpha female, and the other one is just going along doing everything she's saying.
Exactly. And so the one girl who I think may be the ringleader, just my opinion, lifts up her sweater or something, and the other girl, her accomplice, sees the knife. And she told police...
Five-inch knife, correct?
Sure.
I believe so.
Okay. The blade, 5 inches? It would have to be. She sees the knife, and she tells the police it was at that point that she thought to herself, we're really going to do this. Really? You didn't think that? And so, I guess their friend was in front of them, so they attack her. Apparently, they hold her down, and they stab her.
One of them holds her down, and the other one is stabbing her. Now, they could take turns, who knows, but that's kind of what happened.
I think we're not going to really know the details until the trial takes place. But they stab her. What we do know is they stab her 19 times.
19, yep.
One of the stab wounds came within a millimeter of her heart. So she came that close to dying, to bleeding out, to bleeding to death. A millimeter away from her heart. They stab her 19 times. They leave her for dead. They walk back off, and you're thinking, what is going through their minds at this point? What they have literally, in their minds, killed a human being, killed an innocent girl, and they're just going to walk off. I would really like to know what they did right afterwards. You know, did they just act like everything was just normal? So this girl ends up crawling her way, and God bless her for having the energy and the desire to live.
Right. And brave enough, because who knows? She may have encountered the girls. You know, maybe they hadn't left the park, and if she hadn't stayed quiet, they would have come back.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I think that's a lot of people's fear when I watch those true crime shows that I'm always watching.
Yeah. But that's true. I never even thought of that. But she was able to crawl far enough to where a biker spotted her and called 911, stayed with her, and you can listen to the 911 call. I'm sure you can find it online. He stays with her, and then, of course, they come and police come, the ambulance come, they stabilize her. Thank goodness we can report that she's recovering. And they arrest the two girls. They take them into custody.
Yeah, they were found where? At a local store or something?
I say I'm not sure.
Can't remember.
Yeah. There's so much information over this.
But one girl says that she shows she feels no remorse for what she did.
Yeah, they're releasing quite a bit on the one, but not the other. And that's what I'm saying. It's going to be really interesting to see this trial play out, to gather more information. And that's the thing. Some people are saying that and by the way, they're being charged as adults as of right now with attempted first degree intentional homicide. So that's
good.
And of course, their bail was set at $500,000 each. Some people are saying that they hope that they get it moved to out of adult court into juvenile court, because apparently, and I'm not too familiar with the legal system, they said if it's in juvenile court, we'll be able to find out more information about their motives and what was going on and all. I guess it's more restrictive what they can talk about in adult court, I suppose.
I don't see how that's possible, because a lot of times those files are sealed.
Well, that's after the fact. And it could be completely a different story during the trial.
Yeah, that's true.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out. That's still ongoing as of this recording. Once the trial starts, we're going to do a follow-up episode on the Slender Man stabbings for that. And this is the weird thing, the eerie thing. Round about a week later, a second Slender Man stabbing happens. Do you want to tell them a little bit about that, or do you know much about it? There's not
one
really
girl,
a lot.
One girl dressed up as Slender Man with a white face, mm-hmm. and maybe black clothes. I'm not sure about that, but I do know the white face. Her mom comes home, mm-hmm. and she attacks her mom with a large kitchen knife. And her mom does live, and the girl said that it was for the same reason, to provoke Slender Man and, I guess, offer her mom up as a sacrifice so she could go trotting off with Slender Man sunset.
What are they thinking? If they really truly buy into the whole Slender Man mythos, the Slender Man is a devourer of children, whether it's right. physically or of their spirit. I don't get it.
I tend to wonder, are these okay? So, because whenever I was 12 years old, something like that would not even have crossed my mind. And I'm 41 years old now. Something like that doesn't even cross my mind now.
Let's hope
but
not.
I'm just wondering, are these girls bullied? Are they picked on? Do they think that...
In this case, they are the bullies.
Right.
But a lot of times boys...
But before this, mm-hmm. a lot of times bullies will turn and start killing.
No, what I'm saying is there's plenty of cases where the one being bullied...
I mean...
turns out to become the bully later.
So what I'm asking is, are these girls being bullied? Are they not accepted in school? And so they think, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get Slender Man on my side, and I'll show these people...
Yeah.
I'll be considered, a hero, and no one will ever bully me again, and I'll be accepted into everything.
Yeah, who knows what they're thinking. They're obviously not thinking logically.
They're obviously not thinking. They've got a lot of things missing in their lives, and
mm-hmm.
not being judgmental, but that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. When we were kids, the big thing I remember as a kid was Bloody Mary. And I remember not, and this is just the way I was raised. I'm sure it's the way you're raised, because our families seem to carry the same values and ideals. I would never mess around with anything on the supernatural level, any kind of dark forces, anything like that. I distinctly remember in sixth grade, a bunch of the boys, we were all, in the restroom, and somebody started talking about, Bloody Mary, let's invoke Bloody Mary. And I was like, sayonara, suckers, I'm out of here. So, I washed my hands and, headed out, and I was no more out of the bathroom, and I guess they shut the lights off and started chanting for Bloody Mary, because I was not far up the hallway when I heard all the boys in there screaming, running out screaming and laughing, because nothing really happened. But I would just, even at that young of an age, I thought I would never mess around with something like that.
I have yet to do Bloody Mary. This is how much I will not do it. I have not even said it in my mind three times. Now, here, I'm going to say it in my mind three times.
I know,
I'm
you just made me do it.
I have not done it when I'm not in front of a mirror. I will not do it. And to this day,
some things you don't want to mess with.
I will not do it.
Yeah.
Being a Christian, I know that I'm protected. The devil still tries to, he's already got the people that are not saved. He's wanting the people that are saved. I did mess around with one thing once, and I will never do it again. If any of you guys have heard of Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, I was in Girl Scouts, and we were off camping.
Those dang Girl Scouts.
Of course, in the middle of the woods. And these are all girls that I went to school with, so I knew them all. And we were all it was one of those tents where the floor was a wooden floor, but it was actually a tent, walls and ceiling.
Up top, yeah.
And it actually had, the back of it, it had steps leading out of it, and then you just tied the doors together. So that's where we were hanging out. And they wanted to do that with the biggest girl that we had with us. And so, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't really want to do it, but I guess they needed another person.
Peer pressure.
And, you know, I kind of gave in to peer pressure here and there, but usually I held my ground. But I guess I was thinking, you know, this isn't, I don't believe in this. That's the thing. I was thinking, I don't believe in this. This is not going to work. I could care less. You know, let's just do it and give it over with, and then these girls can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, it worked. Okay, so what you do is you put two of your fingers. Let's see. Yeah, everybody, there's four girls, two on each side of the body. And you put two of your fingers from each hand underneath. Now, you don't put your whole hand. You put two of your fingers of each hand underneath. And you chant that, light as a feather, stiff as a board, over and over and over. And at the same time, everybody just starts lifting the person up. And it worked. And we were all sitting down, but we got her so high up off the stairs that we all had our arms stretched all the way up. And just to see if this was really happening and I took a chance that she would fall, I removed one of my hands and she didn't budge. So at that point, I knew, okay, this is wrong. Even though I didn't believe in it, it is working because I guess all these other people believed in it. I think either I almost think it was me that said, we need to start bringing her down. And that kind of just severs the chant, the communicate, or the concentration.
Yeah.
And so then we brought her down, and they kept on doing it. And
did they really?
They kept
you
on
always
doing
told
it.
Me the story about. I guess I never asked you about the follow up to that.
Yeah.
So you only did the one time, but mm-hmm. the others kept doing it.
They kept doing it, and I think I went, and it seemed like I told my friend Melinda, who we were talking about it the other day. It seems like I told her because she didn't want to do it that it really did work, but it may not have been her. But I went to one of the other girls that was just watching, but kind of watching from afar, and I told her, I said it really worked. And whoever it was, we just kind of went back in the tent and got in. I remember trying to get in my sleeping bag. It was already uncomfortable because you're sleeping on a hard floor, but to hear all of that outside, knowing what's going on, that was really uncomfortable. It was one of those where you couldn't wait for daylight, you know.
And see, that's the thing. You may be listening in, and you may disagree with what we're about to talk about in the next half hour. And that's your right. You know, we're not here to force anyone to believe the way we believe, but we're going to speak from our heart. We're going to speak about things that we believe are true, things we believe in. As Colleen mentioned, we're Christians. So there's, in my opinion, there is very much a spiritual world. There's good and bad out there. There's light and dark. And I think, Colleen, you talking about this whole light as a feather thing proves it. I know you would never lie about such a thing because you could care less about impressing other people or saying something happened when it didn't happen for the sake of being popular with your friends. You know, that's just not the type of person you are. So you say it worked. I believe you, it worked. And that just goes to show you that how dangerous it can be to mess with things that we don't understand. There's a whole spiritual world that surrounds us that we as just human beings cannot understand. We don't see the spiritual world. We don't see it. We experience it in ways, but we cannot really truly understand it. And that's why people should not mess around with things like that.
Right. And here I am. I don't know how it works, and I don't really care to get into a bunch of details about how it works. If somebody wants to tell me, I'd almost rather not know, because I feel like if I know, then I know too much. I don't know if it was because everybody else believed that it was going to work, or if maybe it just worked because we were doing it. I mean, I almost feel like there had to have been at least one person around that was doing it that believed in it. But here I am. I didn't believe that it was going to work. I thought it was just a bunch of bull, you know, and I laughed it off. And then for it to actually work, that was the scary thing. And my mom always told me, whatever you do, no matter how curious you are, do not ever play with a Ouija board. You know, I'll be honest. I've been curious about a Ouija board, but I would never, ever fool with one. You know, I've always been curious, does it really move and all that kind of stuff. My mom actually played with one time with, I think it was just one friend, and she said that it was actually moving. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you kind of don't know if the other person is moving the thing or if it's really moving on its own. What do you need to ask that board? You know, what in the world, is it going to be like Twilight Zone, the mystic seer? with...
No, with William Shatner.
William Shatner, who keeps asking these questions and asking these questions. And is it really that important to ask a board about something? But it's not really a board. You're asking more than that. It's drawing these spirits that you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, we have a friend, a very close friend of ours, who said that she had a Ouija board sitting up on one of her bookshelves. And she was in the room. She was going about her business. She wasn't close to the shelf at all, she said. She was the only one in the room. And she said, next thing she knows, the Ouija board flew off the shelf, flew off a few feet and landed on the floor. So when like it just, you know, like wasn't sitting up there correctly and just kind of tumped over and fell off, because it would have just fallen right off, you know, right there in front of the shelf. She said it flew off the shelf a few feet and, you know, of course, then landed on the ground. So right. I think she said it ended up like about 5 feet away from the bookshelf. So that's what I'm saying. It's like they're just you just don't know what you're doing when you start to open these doors and you start allowing these spirits, these things around us to, you know, to come through that door. You know, you're giving them that option of manifesting themselves.
Well, and with her being Christian, I never thought about this until now. Was that Ouija board flying itself off of the shelf to get her to be curious about it and open it up?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
who
because
knows?
She said it wasn't her board, it was a relative's that got left on her bookshelf with
that's
some other
right
things.
I didn't think it was hers, that's why I asked. Yeah, I thought there was something else to the story.
Yeah, so it wasn't something that she had practiced herself.
I would have gotten rid of that real quick.
Yeah, I need to ask her what she did after that. Let's bring this back to the topic at hand, and that's Slender Man. Sure, Slender Man is a fictitious character. It was something that was created in 2009. This is something you and I talked about, and oddly enough, this was before the stabbings happened. You and I were talking about what Slender Man could be. After the stabbings happened, two of our good friends, Ray and Jason, I was in the car with them one day, and Ray said, you know, I think Slender Man is this. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what Colleen and I have been talking about these past few weeks before the stabbings happened. And this is what we propose. We live around a lot of things, a lot of spiritual things that we don't see. A lot of evil spirits are in this world. They're here to cause confusion, cause havoc, to prey on the spiritually weak, to tempt us, to make us fall, to distract us from God's truth. And I think, Colleen, what you and I were talking about is, what if the Slender Man that these girls have experienced or others have experienced is simply demonic forces who, oh, that person wants to believe in Slender Man. Well, guess what? I will give them a Slender Man. So I think these evil spirits are manifesting themselves to these people who are allowing themselves to be open to that sort of thing. And they're allowing
exactly.
themselves to be open. And these evil spirits are going to take the form of Slender Man. So in a way, Slender Man is real.
Right.
And Slender Man has been real for years prior to 2009.
Right.
I mean,
Slender Man is evil. That's all it is. It's evil. Like you said, that's why we have to be careful with what we say, because there's evil spirits around us that can hear us when we say things out loud.
If you're gonna,
when we pray to God, when we pray, you know, when we are talking in our minds, those spirits don't know what we're praying about. You know, it's only what we say out loud. And that's why you have to be careful. And so
words are very powerful.
Right.
And the Bible also says that we are accountable for everything we say. A lot of people want to take that as, oh, well, you know, it says that because you shouldn't cuss or you shouldn't speak lies against your neighbor. And yes, that's true. You shouldn't, you know, falsely accuse your neighbor of stuff. But at the same time, I think that's in the Bible because it's warning us to be careful what you say, because you may open yourself up to harassment by evil forces.
And these evil spirits know that these people are, you know, really believing in the Slender Man type creature, and they're wanting to believe in it, and they're wanting to somehow worship it. So
yeah, they idolize it.
The form. Yeah, almost idolizing. It's going to take the form of Slender Man.
Mm-hmm. Idolizing is a form of worshiping it.
Right. And so, you know, like I said before, I think this guy got an idea from accounts of people seeing things from years and years ago. I mean, we're talking back in the 30s, maybe 20s, definitely in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
May not have been so-called Slender Man.
And Slender Man, as we see him now, is just a repackaging of things from the past.
Right.
These are things that, of course, and when you look into the Slender Man mythos, this gets referenced a lot. There was a book back in 1371, the Knight of the Tower, and it was later translated 100 years later in German, and that's where I think it really became popular. And what it was written by maybe a monarch or someone for the purpose of his two daughters, and it was almost like a warning book to his two daughters. And what it is, it's about these two girls who travel this road, and along this road they meet up with these different knights. Some would say that in the story that they're demons, and they each have different characteristics. Like one would be the demon of vanity, one is possibly the demon of lies, and they come
kind of almost like the seven deadly sins.
Yes, exactly. So it was almost like a cautionary tale to his two daughters. You will meet in life, you will meet these temptations, these demons that will try to make you fall. And it was just basically a cautionary tale. Well, in it, they come across Der Grossmann, which is the tall, pale man. And granted, I mean, keep in mind, this is 1495. They're describing this knight as the tall, pale man.
Right.
And in it, he is tall, he's skeletal, and he's apparently there to, his purpose is to devour children or to have the children sacrifice their parents as a sacrifice to him. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So there we go. So this Slender Man, okay, it may not have been always called Slender Man.
No.
This evil, mean, good for nothing spirit has been around. You know, it comes from Satan. So as long as Satan's been around, it's been around. It just takes the form of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And people may see it differently. It appears differently to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who could be in the same room with it or the outdoors and looking at the exact same thing may see two totally different things. Or they could see the same thing. Maybe one person doesn't see anything at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like we've said before, that's the scary thing, or that's one of the scary things,
mm-hmm.
is that it almost knows what you're wanting to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes itself be seen like that, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the Slender Man as we know him nowadays is nothing more than the newest version of an age-old evil. It's something that has been around through the ages. It's been called different things. It's even appeared as different things, but it's the same dark forces that have been with mankind for as long back as the dawn of time. As long as there's been good, there's been evil. You know, there's been fallen angels. There's been demonic spirits that roam the earth.
Kind of reminds me of ghosts. Excuse me for just a minute. I don't believe in ghosts.
Not ghosts.
I don't believe that someone dies and their spirit is left on earth to finish unfinished business, or because they were killed in a horrible death and their soul is now trapped wherever they died. I don't believe that. I believe that when you die, you either go to heaven or hell right away. We know that there's no so-called purgatory. I don't believe in ghosts in that respect. Yes, I believe in the Holy Ghost, but that's not even what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think these so-called ghosts are evil spirits. Even if the ghost is a nice ghost, I think it's an evil spirit.
Well, he's only appearing to be nice to trick the person.
Exactly.
They're going to appear to be, oh, there's Aunt Mildred. Her spirit is talking to me. Like, no, that is deception. They are appearing to be a loved one in order to deceive you. It's a constant taking your focus away off of the thing that God wants us to keep our eyes on and putting our focus on something completely different. As long as our focus is somewhere where it shouldn't be, they've won.
Exactly. And I go back to saying things out loud. When we talk about, oh, Aunt Mildred, are you here? Or if the evil spirit knows the name of the person, if somebody has a recording of their voice, if they know how much you miss that person, then they're going to do everything they can in order to fool you into thinking that that is the spirit of your loved one. You know, you've heard voices, you've heard the spirit may even say the person's name, and maybe you don't say that. Like, I'm talking when people do these paranormal investigations and they find something. Okay, maybe you don't do the person, you don't say the person's name then, but it already knows, you've already said the name, it already knows what name you're talking about. And then I've heard some, in watching these paranormal shows, I've heard some of these evil spirits talk, and it actually sounds like one of the voices of the people that are there. And so, I mean, it gets creepy. It's scary. This stuff is real. You know, for it to be able to sound like someone who's alive, that's something that I don't want to mess with. But it's all because of what's been said out loud and what these people are trying to find.
Now, the Slender Man, and this is something that we actually have friends who are Satanists. And so you can talk to these people who, you know, are Satanists, and they will, or people who practice witchcraft, and they will tell you that conjuring and casting spells, giving power to these entities, they say is very real. They practice it, and they've seen results from it. Now, that's all that the Slender Man is. He's an entity in the public consciousness that people are conjuring him in a way by sharing memes or sharing stories or sharing photos. And there's a fine line between playing a Slender Man video game and sitting there playing it and, you know, you turn it off and you go on with your life. There's playing it, there's letting it, you know, you obsess about it, you think about it after the fact, you start talking about it to others, you start wondering, is it real? Can this really happen? Can I talk to him? That is conjuring. You're empowering that entity. Just like a Ouija board, you're inviting trouble. You're opening that door. That's what these girls did. These girls opened themselves up to these dark forces, and they were playing around with occultic things. Opened themselves up to something very powerful that they weren't ready to handle. And that's the danger, is a lot of I've heard plenty of stories in the past of young teenagers, preteens in this case, who practice the occult. They think they can control it. They think it's something that's going to give them power. It's something that's going to give them spiritual security. And I don't think parents really know how powerful, how dangerous it could be for a child. It's dangerous for an adult, but even more so for a child who's so open to things to mess around with.
I do not think that means what you think it means.
Yeah, to mess around with occultic things. And we see the result of that danger in these two Slender Man stabbings. The Slender Man is what they call an archetype. We've had archetypes in our consciousness for years. We get these archetypes from movies. In olden times, they would get their archetypes through stories and through artwork, through paintings. Nowadays, it's much easier for these archetypes to get around into the public consciousness because we have things like social media, we have YouTube, we have movies, you know. So that's why something like Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers can become like an archetype, because you see a movie and it gets spread around, you know, it gets into the pop culture, as it were. And then
you think if you've seen the movies, you think, oh, that's something that Freddy Krueger would say, or mm-hmm. Well, since Michael Myers doesn't talk.
And that's where you would get like these copycats. Sure, I mean, I'm not saying that you can blame video games for stuff, but it's obvious. Look at the shooting in Colorado. What was that school?
It's
Columbine. The trench coat mafia. These guys, these shooters, were purposely styling themselves to resemble the characters in the Matrix. Now, does that mean the Matrix is evil? No. It was entertainment. It was an action movie. But again, these shooters took what was in the movie, what was meant for entertainment, and they adapted it to almost like their religion, their lifestyle. They obsessed about it. They created an ideal. So they took something that you and I could watch The Matrix and be entertained.
No, I would be bored. But anyway, go ahead.
That's where the danger lies, where an impressionable mind can take something and take it too far.
That's why they have restrictions on movies. Rated R, PG-13, PG-G.
It's not even just the kids, though. I mean, adults will do the same thing.
So they're putting these restrictions on these movies to tell you, okay, this is suitable for everyone. This is only suitable for parent guidance or whatever it stands for. If you're under 18, you know, you probably shouldn't watch this. It's not to be mean. There's a reason. Your brain is unable to handle it. Your brain cannot tell the difference between real and not real. You shouldn't be watching it. So I don't blame any of these movies. Do I think that some of these movies are disgusting and gross and shouldn't be in a movie and all that? Of course. But I'm not going to blame a movie for somebody's inability to see right from wrong. Mm-hmm. It's things in their life that are keeping them from doing that. It all goes back to the person, and it all goes back to the child. I'm sorry, sorry, but a 12-year-old, even though a 12-year-old is still a child, and I guess you can consider them a teen, but or a preteen, they are old enough to know what they're doing. They're old enough to know that that is wrong. You shouldn't be stabbing someone. And they weren't just stabbing her. They were wanting to kill her. To kill is wrong. They were old enough to know that.
Yeah. My final thoughts on it. These two girls conjured the Slender Man. They attempted to sacrifice their friend to bring forth Slender Man. We don't know all the details, but if we're to believe in a spiritual world, if we're to believe, you know, that evil can manifest itself and affect a person, affect their mind, which we do, then who's to say that these girls weren't possessed by an evil spirit that prompted them to carry out these killings? Because come on out, what 12-year-old is going to pick up a knife and stab another kid 19 times? I have a strong suspicion that these girls were possessed by evil spirits.
Yeah, it could be. And if you leave your mind open enough to something so bad, especially if you don't have any spiritual good in there to protect you, and I'm not saying that they didn't, then of course you're leaving your mind, you're leaving your body open to something evil just jumping right in and taking over.
In the spiritual world, how does an evil spirit touch the physical world? It's by possession. An evil spirit will possess a person to, and they use that person as a vessel to carry out evil things, to do evil things. We've seen it in the Bible. We would see, the Bible tells us stories of people who are possessed. You know, Jesus would cast out demons out of people all the time. He cast the legion, you know, when he asked, you know, the man, the possessed man came to him and Jesus asked him, what is your name? And the man said, we are legion. Jesus cast out legion, these multiple evil spirits, and he cast them into, you know, the swine, the wild pigs that were close by. And then these pigs, possessed by these spirits, ran off the cliff to their deaths. You know, we see it. That's how the spiritual world can touch the physical world, is by possession. And that's why I really have a strong feeling that if these girls opened up their minds, their hearts to this evil thing, then it was able to touch our physical world. This is how the imaginative can affect the real world.
Right. And, you know, people say that only people are possessed or haunted. Things aren't haunted or possessed. But I disagree. I'm not talking about the Amityville house or anything like that. But I'm talking about when people are investigating something and they hear a noise or they actually see something move. They see something fly off the shelf, as in the case of our friend. Or they see something, they get hit by something maybe. Something gets thrown at them or knocked over. I think those things are somehow being possessed by an evil spirit. They're moving it. They're throwing it. They're knocking it over. And it's not just people, they're possessing people and having people act out crimes or certain things. They're also, in a way, possessing things, inanimate objects, and making those things move as well.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Again, we'll continue the Slender Man story later on once the trial starts and we get a little bit more information to report. Just keep these things in mind. You know, you can form your own opinion. You may think we're crazy for believing there is such a thing as a spiritual world. And like I said, that's your opinion. Just remember the things we've talked about. And when you think about these things, ask yourself, are they real or are they figments? Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
Figments is a production of EdMed Art Studios and hosted by the Jedi Cole Universe. You can find us at www.jedicole.com and www.eddiemedina.com. Thank you for listening and keep searching for the